Amen. That's right. You have the hope that this life will soon be over. Won't be a farewell down here. Hello there. Amen. Y'all so quiet, you're making me nervous. So quiet. I just come to preach to you. And I hope that I can. I hope that I can help you. And for the Lord to help us. I asked one of my schoolmates to read for me tonight. Let him get part of the action. Amen. Brother J.R. Cannon. Second Samuel, 11th chapter, 1st verse through 5th verse.
And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all of Israel. And they destroyed the children of Ammon, and besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in the evening time, David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And David sent messengers and took her, and she came unto him. And he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived, and sent and told David, and said, "I am with child."
Thank you, Brother J.R. And in the 14th verse, "And it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab, and sent it by the hand of Uriah. He wrote in the letter, saying, Set ye Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle, and retire ye from him, that he may be smitten and die." I want to try to preach to you tonight from these scriptures. The Bible tells us that David was a man after God's own heart. God was seeking for a man before Samuel had anointed David king. God was seeking for a man, and this was the man that was after God's own heart. We look at David, and this was the king. He started the line of the kingship. And that's what brought Jesus into the world, was the line of David. And there was Joseph, and then there was Mary, and then there was Jesus. So David was in that line of Jesus coming to earth. Then we look at David as an inspired writer. And how many times have we quoted, or how many times have we looked at the 23rd Psalm? The Lord is my shepherd. Oh, what a great, great writer David was. And what great things David had achieved when he was just a lad. And what David had done when he had grown up and David had become king. Now, just anybody can't become king. Somebody's got to appoint you. Somebody's got to be on your side. God was on David's side. I want to try to preach to you. I may not jump up and down tonight. I may not run around this pulpit, but I intend on trying to preach to you God's Bible. We look at sin, and if you hadn't figured it out by the reading, and you know the story of David and Bathsheba, and some of you have done come to the end of the story. But if you allow me for just a little while, I'm going to try to paint you a picture and try to preach to you. And I want to specify and talk a lot to the young folks tonight, but your moms and dads, if you'll listen and tune in, maybe I can help you also. But the Bible tells us, for the wages of sin is death.
Right.
But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Yes.
Do you know there is pleasure in sin for a season?
Yes.
Do you know that millions are captivated by the pleasure of sin? Do you know there are souls that are selling themselves for the fleeting moments of sin and its pleasure?
Right.
Do you know that Satan has tried his best to attract us to sin? Because you see, sin separates us from God. God don't know sin. No, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he took on our sin. But he took on our sin who knew no sin. But the world has gone crazy in the pleasure seeking. I heard a man speak to me today at work, and he said, "Don't ever take your grandson to see the show about Teddy Bear." I said, "I don't plan on it." But he said, "Let me give you some advice." I wouldn't. They try to gear it around children, but he said, they curse like crazy in the movie. They've done all kind of obscene things in the movie. I said, "No, you don't have to worry about me going." But Satan has tried his best to put the light and put the glitter where it needs to be for us to just kind of look at that thing. For you see, the prodigal son, he saw the bright lights of the far country. And that's what caused the desire in his heart to go to the far country, because there is some pleasure seeking in the far country. But I want you to realize that it's only for a season. It's only for a little while. But do you understand that in sin that there is pitfalls? But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticement, the book of James tells us. Sin involves many pitfalls. The downward press, amen, of destruction of body, soul, and mind. That's why you got so many AA meetings and so many rehab places for drugs, is because there are pitfalls in sin. Amen. There are traps in sin. Amen. And I want us to realize that we must understand the God of this world, the Bible said, have blinded the mind of folks. But you see, we should be holding on to the hand of God, but so many folks just want to let go for just a trifling, for that moment of sin. See, when Jacob had made that pottage, and Esau came to get it, it was just a pitfall, amen, for Esau, and he didn't see the trap. Amen, that pottage was just for right now. He wasn't looking for the future. And that's what some of us do sometimes. We don't plan for the future. We just take that fleeting moment for right now, and we just take that simple thing for right now, not realizing that it's a pitfall. Not realizing it's just a pleasure for a season. Not realizing the cost of that sin. Not realizing how far that sin will drive us. Nobody looks at that. Nobody sees that. But sin is progressive. Sin is so progressive. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. The enemy is deceptive. He lures with simple pleasures. Very deceiving. But look at the progress of sin and how that it works. And I'm going to spill a little foundation here. I'm going to try to preach to you. But it's progressive. Sin doesn't stop with just a desire and a pleasure. It keeps on driving. It keeps on driving until it destroys its victim. It keeps on driving. I don't say it leads you like a shepherd, but it keeps on driving.
Right.
Amen. That's right. That's what sin will do. It keeps on driving us. We won't stop with just a little bit. We've got to go all the way. Oh, help me preach. I've had this on my heart for a little while, and I've tried to pick up some other things along the way to try to preach to you, but this is what's burdening on my heart. Is when David came down to the place, when the Bible said and kings should be out to war, David finds himself not going with the men, as he often done at times past. David was in the forefront, in the heat of the battle. Amen. And David had been with his men through fight after fight, through war after war, and then won victory after victory. But for some odd reason, the Bible stops and tells us David took a leave of absence. And he sent his men on into battle, and David knew that he should stay there with his men in battle. I want to tell us that sometimes we will fall like David fell to sin with Bathsheba when we get inactive, when we get idle. Amen. And there, my friend, you cannot tell me. David had been after the battle and after the battle, but now David rises from his bed and goes to the rooftop. No, had David been to the rooftop before? Yes, he had. Oh, I wish somebody helped me preach. This wasn't the first time David had went to the rooftop. I don't believe, brothers and sisters, you may doubt me, but I don't believe so. If it's his home, if it's palace, if it's his castle, and then David's going to roam where he wants to roam. And I will tell you something David did. David started letting down his guard. And David, when he should have been out to battle, David let down his guard. And David said, I might go today. Do you know when soldiers that join our armed forces, and whether it be Navy, Marine, or whatever it may be, do you know when they find themselves into trouble more times than none? Not when they're in the heat of the battle, not when they're on the front line fighting for our country, but it's the leisure time, the long weekends. And that's when we find the soldiers finding themselves in trouble. It's when they are idle. Where do young boys and young girls, not when they're pressed by school, no, not when they're studying for tests, but it's them long summers that we find ourselves idle. We find ourselves where we're not where we should be. And then they tell me, one writer said, idle hands is the devil's workshop. Amen. Amen. Just getting idle. You know what the world is crying out now? Give us less hours, more vacation, early retirement. What does it sound like? Jesus said in the last days, they would be more lovers of pleasure than of God. Oh yes, my friend, we find sometimes, even David the king, we wouldn't thank him being the warrior that he is, that he would let down his guard. But he did. He did. He let down his guard. And that's when you and I get into trouble. Is when we've got idle time. When we know when we should be communing with God. When we know we should be reading God's word. When we know we should be coming to God's house. And then we find ourselves like David. We find ourselves inactive. We find ourselves not doing those things. You can say what you will. I'm going to try to preach to you. And this may be my commentary. And then I don't know how close David was when he went to the rooftop. I don't know how close you are tonight to God. But I come to preach to you with the word of God tonight and tell you, those idle hands, those idle times, you will find yourself in trouble. Amen. If it ain't nothing more, it's just going to be some sound doctrine. All right? Amen. But we find David falling again. And David falls because he exempts himself from authority. David comes down, and David no longer has to answer to nobody. David is the king. David is making the rules. And David is breaking the rules. Amen. You see, my friend, when you're the king, you don't answer to nobody. And David didn't have nobody, amen, that he could answer to. Amen. It was just David. Amen. That's right, my friend. You need to find somebody that'll be a close friend to you. Amen. That you'll be accountable to. Amen. I called one of my friends here a while back, and I knew he was going through it on the phone. I told him, I said, I tell you what, whether you like it or not, you're going to be accountable to me. You're going to call me and tell me, amen, what's going on in your life. You say, well, Brother Mick, you're trying to be the big bully. No, I knew he was going through some tough times. Amen. I knew that he needed somebody, amen, that he could be accountable to, somebody he could talk to, somebody he could trust.
David didn't have nobody to answer to. David was king. David answered to nobody. And the feeling of David was, do as you please. I said, do as you please. I want to ask you something now. Are we still the same people that we are here at church when you're gone on vacation? Are we still the same people that we are when we're in school and you're around your friends? Are you still the same person, amen, that you claim to be? Not just putting up a front because you're here. Are we still the same people? Amen. Are we still the same people? That's why the Bible says, leave the lust. Get away from it. You tell me that you can walk around a bunch of beehives and not be stung. You tell me that you can take fire in your bosom and not be burned. I'm here to tell you that you can. David, you done let down your guard, but now that you're king, you don't have to answer nobody. You know what I said when I was a young boy? Oh, I had a lot of big dreams. I said, I can't wait to get out from under the roof of mom and dad and the thumb of my dad. Amen. And I can live a life that I want to live. I'll tell you what, my friend. There were some times I wish I was back there. Oh, in the home of safety. Oh, yes, my friend. In that home where I knew mama was. Amen. In that home where I knew daddy was. No, mom and dad wasn't Christian folks. But I come to tell you tonight, they got saved. I prayed both of them through. Amen. I ain't no great man, but I prayed both of them through before they left here. Everybody was looking around wondering what dad's going to do. I said, he's dying. I prayed daddy through. Then I prayed mama through. Me and Shantara tonight, and we prayed through. And mama went on to meet the Lord. But there's sometimes, young folks, you think, if I can get out from underneath authority, if I can get out from underneath them, I'm going to do what I want to do. It ain't that bed of roses that you're thinking. I've been there and I've done that. But I want to preach to you and tell you, don't let down your guard. The devil plays for keeps. I come to tell you tonight, don't let it down. Look over your shoulder. You know what I've done many a time when I was at home? Amen. I've done a lot of things when I was in school. I've done a lot of things when I was out in the world, and I'm not proud of them. I'm not going to tell you about them, but I know one thing I've done. When I was out in the world and I've done some things, I looked over my shoulder to see if my daddy was around. Amen. Because I knew trouble was coming. If daddy knew about it, it'd be a good thing for some of you. If God Almighty knows about it, yet it's not comical. He told us that when his wife went out of town, that he got some bad movies. And you know what he said, Brother Bill, as straight face as he could? He said, nobody's seen me but the Lord. I said, man, do you realize what you just said? Nobody's seen you but the Lord? Oh, my friend.
You'd have been better if I seen you. Brother Daniel would have seen you. But he seen you. I'm telling you folks something. When you get out from underneath authority, I come and tell you, be careful. Be careful. I know this is just simple preaching. I know it is. I understand it. It's very simple preaching. Hey, amen. But there's so many young folks. You got to teach your head. Don't let the devil come in and mess it up. Do you hear me? I said, don't let the devil come in and mess it up. I've seen so many lives on the scrap heaps of humanity. I've seen so many lives, amen, on the junk pile of this world. Amen. Yeah, my friend, there's a girl that I ain't gonna say who she was, but they just found out that she just killed her baby just the other day. I come in contact with that girl. There's a young girl out of Sean Terry's house. Amen. And I was preaching to a bunch of them when they'd come around after Cody had passed away, because my sister would send them inside the house for the building. She'd say, talk to my brother, he's a preacher. And that young girl come in the house, tears streaming from her face, her body so frail from not eating and just taking drugs. And she began to scream in that living room, and she said, that demon come up inside of me. Those drugs that I took come up inside of me and ripped out of me my very soul. She wept and cried and said, if you pray for me, I'm losing my children. I met another young lady over here. What are you saying it for, brother? I'm trying to preach to you and tell you, it starts little. It starts with just one drug. It starts with just one smoke. I'm going to just preach to you now. I feel it now. I felt him step in here now to help me. And I'm just going to flat foot preach to you. And then there was a young girl come to me and said, Mitchell, pray for me. They're taking my children away. I'm selling myself out on the streets. And then I don't have my children no more. What are they saying? They're saying, don't let down your guard. They're saying, keep your eye, watch and pray. You don't have to be a casual in the last road. You don't have to be a reject in life. Amen. You can be saved. Amen. You can live right. Amen. But my friend, I come to tell you, sometimes when authority ain't there, we'll do it. You know what the well-known drug dealers say? They say we give them the first hit just to get them hooked. Oh yes, my friend, it'll be free. It won't cost you nothing. Oh, David, David, David. I would like to stop David, but you know the rest of the story. But while I got you here tonight, could I stop someone here tonight? I can't change David's life without trying to change yours. We look at it. People get free from the fear of guilt. There's no more guilt. There's no more remorse. There's no more shame. Anything goes. Anything goes. I must hurry. I don't want to worry, but I must hurry. David sits idle. David doesn't have authority. David fails because he toyed with temptation. It's dangerous to play the sin. And I believe the first night David went to the room. Bible doesn't record it. I just want to go to the second time. I don't believe that David had in mind when he went to the rooftop that night to commit adultery and fornication. But I do believe David knew what he should be doing. I do believe that it gripped David's heart because David knew he should have been on the battlefield all the time. I don't believe that young folks, you're here tonight and you intend on doing wrong. I don't believe that you intend on going out and leaving the church. But it starts with a thought. And that thought harbors an action. And that's what David does. David comes to this place and David toils with temptation. Don't you remember Samson? Do you remember that great he-man of God? Do you remember he goes to Delilah and he lies 2 or 3 times? Do you know what he does? He plays with it. He trifles with it. Oh, it's not going to hurt me. This won't be that bad. Do you know a lot of folks are worried about the spider web? I say kill the spider and you won't have to worry about the web. I come to tell you tonight, it may seem playful. It may be that we're just riding around and we're just talking. It may be that you just say an off-color word or, come on, some jester. It may just be real simple. It may be fun. It may be playing. But it may be deadly. That's right. Yes, David could say, this is my rooftop. It's not my fault she's bathing. Yes, David, you could say that. Yes, you could say that. Amen. But David, it's your mistake for staying there as long as you did. And yes, she's bathing. Yes, it may be wrong to see her, but David, turn around and leave the rooftop, for no David stays.
Right. It's not my fault that I know those bad words. It's not my fault that that friend gave me that book. It's not my fault that they said this. It's not my fault that I wrote those things in that letter. This here to preach to you. David could have said a lot of things. But David, you're still on the rooftop. Adam and Eve, if you'll look at me, what they did, they looked and then they took.
Amen.
Achan looked and then he took.
Yeah.
The look didn't get David. But it's the sin that he harbored in his heart.
Yeah.
The Bible said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me.
Right.
Amen. David plays with it. And I've seen so many young people. Amen. For the turning from this on for us. I've seen so many young people. They want to play as close to the edge as they can. They want to play as close to the edge as they can. And I come to tell you tonight, you play close to the edge, the devil's going to push you. I said, you play close to the edge, the devil's going to push you. Push you past your limit. Push you past it. Well, I'm just talking to her. I'm just playing around, Brother Mitch. I'm just, no. You're playing with it. It's deadly. The devil plays for keeps, David. It's deadly. Amen. There's no way out. You're letting down your guard. Come on here. I wish I had a church that helped me preach. Amen. We're letting down our guard too much. It's painful. It's pretty. It's easy. Brother Bill told the story. Brother Bill, if I could borrow it. Brother Bill told the story of a family that lived in the jungle. Brother Bill, you correct me if I'm wrong. He told the story of a family that lived in the jungle. They went out in the jungle and they found this tiger cub. And they brought it back to the tent where they lived, or the hut. And they played with it. A man that knew the jungle, Brother Danny, he said, turn that thing loose. Oh, it's playful. It's furry. My children sleep with it. My children play with it. He said, turn that animal loose. For when it tastes his blood, it'll go back to its nature.
and it'll devour your children. Time that went on, that thing began to grow. They kept playing with it. They kept keeping it. And there, my friend, as that man passed by that village or that place again, there met a person with tears in their eyes and said, "You were right. It devoured my child." Hey, my friend, I want to tell us tonight, it's not painful. Hey, man, if it'll send your soul to hell, I want to tell you tonight, adultery, fornication, all these sinful things, they'll send your soul to hell. Don't play with them. I said, don't play with them. It's a serious matter when we play with sin. When we think we can handle it. David thought he could handle it. Brother J.R., I wanted to say out in these scriptures, and I wanted to yell back at David, "David, you have wives. David, you have concubines. Why, David, why?" And David said, "I'll just call on her. I'll just see if she's available. I'll call on her." "No, David, she's married."
Right.
Come on, I know this is just, I know this is just simple preaching. But come on here. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. David fell because he ignored his weakness. David knew he had trouble, but he fell anyhow. Do you know where Peter fell? In familiar waters. In familiar waters. Do you know where Christian folks fall? In familiar places. Put a guard up there. Guard that heart. For the Bible said, "Who can know it? It's desperately wicked. Only God knows it. Only God tries the reins." Put a guard above the throne room of your heart. Psalmist writes, "I was shaped in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." David put a guard upon the weakness. How many men have failed in a weak moment when they should have been on their toes? Young folks, in that time, I've been there in school when I was the lookout man for the battle. Brother J.R. said the other night, any kind of drugs, alcohol you wanted was in that restroom. And God would say, "We bought it, it's yours." I'm here to tell you, we thought we'd trifle with a little bit of it. That was a weakness. That was a weakness. Just do this, man, one time. That was a weakness. Put a guard above it. Hey, man, there was a man that stood in the pulpit somewhere across the United States, and he said, "You know what? The devil won't get me with a woman." Hey, man, guess what he got him with? Hey, man, when we tell the devil our weakness.
Amen. Right. Yep,
don't let him in. Keep it closed. I said, don't let him in. Young folks, I come to preach to you. Moms and dads, grandma and grandpas, I come to preach to you. We're letting our guard down at a critical time. I said, the Lord Jesus Christ is fixing to split the eastern skies, and we're letting our guard down. No, I'm not just talking to young folks. I see folks middle-aged. Amen. People in their 50s and 60s walk away from God. Amen. In a critical time. It's no time to let the guard down.
Amen. Right.
It won't hurt. Come on here now. I'll wear that. It won't hurt. I'll put that on. That won't hurt. But it may not hurt right now. But it may after a while. Don't play with it. Don't trifle with it. Yeah, I could have saved David a lot of trouble. David, you're in trouble, man. You don't even know it. I could have saved David a lot of heartache. Amen. But I come to preach the right road tonight. Amen. To tell us, it's a critical time. We're letting the guard down. We're losing the battle. Amen. It's the devil himself fighting against the church, fighting against young folks, middle-aged folks, old folks. Amen. Keep your guard up. That's why the Bible said, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. There's so many traps set, we don't even know it. It would scare us if we only knew the traps that were set.
Right. Amen.
Right across the street here, when the big plant was rolling, folks were making big money. There was a lady that worked over there. Brother Danny, you may have heard me tell the story. There's a lady that worked over there. And her and her husband was fighting. There was a man that talked to her every day at work. And he said, you're a pretty woman. He said, I'd love to be your husband. And he taunted her every day. And no doubt she giggled and said, no, thank you. I'll marry you. Time went on, but the JRA kept coming back. I'd sure like to put my shoes at your house. And she just shy away and laughed. But one day, she came to work in a bad condition. Her husband had done her wrong. And that man came back and said, I'd sure like to be at your house. And she took him to her house. I'm telling you, I'm preaching to you. I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I'm here to tell you, you're trifling with it. You're playing with it. After a while, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. Don't worry about that. It'll cost you. Listen to me. I come with the authority of the Holy Ghost tonight. I'll go with you about that. I told my wife when I left the house, I said, I'm alone to preach. My mind's scattered. But I found it. I found it. Don't trifle with those thoughts. Don't let them grow any seeds. Don't let them get any root. Pray through, get it through. I said, pray through, get it through. Well, Brother Mitch, you already know. Well, Brother Mitch, you've already heard. And I'm here to tell you tonight. I got this message before you came. I didn't even know it until the other night that I was preaching this Thursday. Amen. Probably the same time that you did. Or maybe just a little bit before. I want to tell you something. When we stop talking to God, we stop communing with God, you open the door to the devil. I said, you open the door to the devil, and the walls of resistance are broken down.
Amen.
I just quit praying. You ask anybody that gets out of church, you ask them that backslid, and the first thing they'll tell you is, I quit communing with God. I quit praying.
Amen.
I quit seeking the face of God. And that's why they're out of the house of God. Yes, it starts with just quit praying. It starts with just quit reading your Bible. It starts with just missing church every now and then. It starts with just a little word. It starts with somebody talking soft to you. And then you find yourself in trouble. My God, I'm preaching to somebody. Hallelujah. 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 the vultures of sin that had been covered by the darkness of night have come home to reach on David's shoulders. They come home. She says, David, I'm a child. Be sure your sins will find you out.
Look with me tonight. The penalty of sin. I would not be much of a preacher if I could not preach to you the penalty of sin. I showed you a few steps in David's life and maybe in your very own life. But Nathan the prophet came and told David about the poor man's land. And David said he should pay back fourfold and even death. Do you know, my friend, that the baby that was born the day that died? Do you know that one of David's sons, Amnon, raped his sister? Did you know Absalom murdered his brother? And then Absalom got caught in a tree. What did David say? That man must pay back fourfold. I gave you four reasons. Amen. Were the vultures roosting in David's home? No, I'm not happy about this story. Amen. But still, there must come a payment. The sword never left David's house. It never left David's house. I'm going to read you one more thing, and I'm going to try to hurry up and close. This is referring to Achan. The Bible spoke in the book of Joshua when Israel down was losing the battle. And you know the story. The Bible said that man perished not alone in his iniquity. I come to tell us tonight the sins of David, they linger on. The sins of David are now in our day. And they flood our streets and our cities. But I come to tell us that no man sins alone. Right. No man sins to himself. For Achan said there, and the Bible said there about Achan, he suffered not alone in his iniquity. His whole family suffered for what he had done. David's family suffered for what he had done. Amen. Look at the alcohol man that drinks the alcohol and got a habit. He doesn't care. He's taking food from his family and from his babies. Amen. Yes, my friend. Look at the thief. He doesn't realize every time he reaches his hand to steal something, it gives his whole family a bad name. Oh, come on. Help me preach just for a moment. Amen. No man suffers alone.
Oh, the wife of Cain. The penalty of sin. It's going to cost you more than you want to have. It's going to take you further than you want to know. And keep you longer. I preached to you my heart. sin. I think sometimes we do what David's done, not meaning to go to the rooftop and do wrong, but it happened. I don't believe Samson ever did want to kill her where he slept blind, but he did. I don't believe Saul ever wanted to die on a battlefield with his crown. I don't believe those young girls that I spoke of tonight wanted to do it in the shape they were in. You don't know the answer. I'm trying to throw up a roadblock if you don't know by now. I preach to you in my heart. Yeah, I'll go home and I'll pray about it. Now, like a lot of preachers, I should have said this or I should have said that. David's last gone. We just read about it. But tonight, yours is reality. Yours is here. Let's stand tonight. Yes, David got back to the throne. David sat in his chair again. David put the crown on again. We read where David said, "Restore unto me the joy, thy salvation." We read all of that. Brother Danny, I just wonder, what could David have been? Stayed on the rooftop. What could you be tonight if you don't give in to that sin? If you don't give in to that pornography? If you don't give in to those things? What could you be? Don't let them take it from you. Don't let them take your purity from you. That's very important, in case you didn't know that. It's very important. Don't let them do it. I come to preach you this last message. Yeah, my message. Then Brother Sutton will be back. But what about tonight? What about tonight? You've had thoughts. But I bet you everybody's had thoughts, sure. I've had a bunch of them run through my mind. And I try my best to rebuke them every time. Because I got to tell you, Brother Bill, I ain't always been saved. It's when we dwell on it. It's when we stay there. When we meditate. And we harbor it. That's when it comes wrong. She's going to say, "This altar's open. I want you to come. Let's have a season of prayer about this message. Bring it to the Lord."